With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gilcast. You might be listening to this on the Sports Grid Fantasy Football podcast feed. You might be listening to this on the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Football feed. So, Sammy, I mean, just total MIA. I mean, this guy is on a beach. He's like, we don't really know what he's doing. Guy's not working. He somehow was able to enter a contest today, but not able to join us for the show. He duped me in the contest, and then we wanted to have Blender on, but Blender is feeling under the weather, so Blender's not joining us. So it's just Nate and I. Maybe the first time ever in the history of the show, it's just been you and I. I know Sammy and I have done it before. But there we go, buddy. I mean,
I'm sure there's been times Sammy's flaked on us before, couldn't get his computer on because he's a freaking boomer. But yeah, this one. I mean, he's like on a beach. He posts these weird, and it's like, are you at a playground? I'm confused. But he's in Mexico or something. I don't know.
Mexico with his children during December. But it's like one thing I'd understand if you want to take a 2-week vacation with your children to Mexico. If you lived where you and I live, where you, it's horrible outside.
When you live in San Diego.
Yeah, it's like, dude, you want a day at the beach? Like, just walk outside your front door. So I don't really get it there. I gotta say, probably the most useless day of contests on DraftKings for me. I entered $837 worth of contests in cash games with this lineup, and I returned $843.10. So, just really, really not worth it. And I mean, just running so bad. This Kenneth Walker injury. I mean, because we had Nate, we had people who had played ETN dead.
We had them
drawn stone dead.
Yeah, it was a super tilting day. I mean, the Lawrence injury, obviously he came back and was fine, but I was like tilting my face off the whole halftime. And then there was the Kenneth Walker injury. Then there was there was a million things injury wise that happened today that just made today not fun. Even though it was like a profitable day, it was like I was tilting most of the day, basically like I was losing everything.
Well, so it was sort of interesting in that there was like a core of guys who were really good plays, and there were a couple lineups who ended up being pretty duped, but the overlap wasn't that insane because of the price discrepancy in terms of the 2v2s. So it started out at quarterback. I mean, pretty much everybody played Joseph Burrow or Trevor Lawrence, and Trevor Lawrence, I mean, he didn't get the, like, I guess he got 16 with the ankle injury, so he didn't absolutely kill you. Burrow was 47% owned in the massive $50 Trevor Lawrence was 23. I guess some people played Mike White and Justin Herbert. And then at running back, it was Perine, who was like the lock. But I was surprised to see him only come in at 51%. Do you think that that was just that some people thought Mixon still might play?
I think so. That's the only thing that explains it to me. Because Perine was a better play this week than last week. I mean, it's a much better game environment. I mean, this was like the game of the slate. And so him at 6K, when all these other running backs near him were, I don't know how he wasn't 80% owned.
Like, well, I mean, we've seen Kenneth Walker 80% owned. We've seen Tony Pollard 80% owned. Or maybe some site didn't have him projected that strong and had maybe, well, the most shocking thing to me, this blew my mind. Nick Chubb was 20% owned in cash games on DraftKings. I'm realizing now that's how my lineup ended up making money, was because people played Nick Chubb.
I don't know how you pay $8,000 for Nick Chubb in cash when there's Josh Jacobs, Austin Eckler, Perine, Walker, ETN. Like I don't even think I considered him.
I considered Perine, Eckler, Walker, Jacobs, ETN, and Zonovan Knight, and that was it. Those were the only guys I considered for cash games.
I considered Zonovan Knight for like half a second, and then realized that has potential to go real bad, real quick.
And it kind of did. It kind of did. Ty Johnson played a lot. And then honestly, I think it just was that they ended up running so many raw plays as a team that ended up being really good for Knight. Because for a while during the game, he had like a total snowflake situation going on. I mean, I guess he ended up getting to 15 carries. So I guess that was it. It was that he really wasn't splitting any of the carry work with James Robinson. But Ty Johnson got 7 targets, 3rd on the team. So there was definitely room for him getting super squeezed in the spot. You played Jacobs over Eckler.
I played Jacobs over Eckler.
Buddy. Yeah, I mean, good fucking call. The Chargers stink.
Well, I mean, yeah, let's get into the lineup. So in the four-man, because we had Blender, but Blender's sick. But in the four-man, I had a 155.36. I played Lawrence, Jacobs, Walker, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Wilson, Collins, Freiermuth, Perine, and Titans. So I think all of us played the same wide receiver core of Amon-Ra St. Brown, Garrett Wilson, Nico Collins. I don't think I really struggled with Nico as much as you did. I think you were trying to get off Nico.
No, he sucks, dude. I was trying to get off.
I know he sucks,
so
but he's
bad.
Got the volume. Like, but the volume was like guaranteed there at his price.
Well, Blender, he's not here to defend himself, so I'm not going to go in on him too hard. But he did the 2v2 to avoid playing Nico Collins. So he played Zay Jones and Travis Etienne over Kenneth Walker and Nico Collins, which I looked at. But I was like, no, I want to play Kenneth Walker.
The point of not playing Nico Collins is to not play a wide receiver who sucks. So why would you play Zay Jones? I mean, Zay Jones is legitimately an awful NFL wide receiver. Like, the only reason you can play Zay Jones is volume. It's the exact same play as Nico Collins, except $700 more. Maybe just because of the better game environment.
Well, way better game environment, better quarterback. He was just coming off of, like, I think a 15-target game, if memory serves me correctly. But the reason why I didn't play him was he was a legit game time decision with the chest injury. And I was like, that just seems, and I really didn't want to play ETN. I thought ETN was horrible. And this is why. The first reason being you think Travis ETN is a pass catcher. He's not. He looks like it. That's how he played in college, but that's not how he's been utilized as a Jaguar at all.
Yeah, I would make the case that he is still that guy. They're just not using him that way, and I don't know why. But
sure,
he has that talent in him.
But he only has 2 games this year with more than 3 targets. He's got no games with more than 3 receptions. He does not have a receiving touchdown. I mean, all of this stuff just it's not the it's like the same shit you'd say about Kenneth Walker. Like, people would be like, "How are you playing Kenneth Walker? He's not a pass catcher." But I mean,
add to the fact that he has a Liz Frank injury that took him out for a whole year and then injured
and his
last
foot
week
injured and, again. I thought,
I
no
mean,
way.
Literally, it's one of the most fragile injuries. Like, anything could have happened during that game. Like, his injury risk in game was much higher than, like, I mean, the Kenneth Walker crap, whatever. But in game injuries can happen to anybody. But I don't know, a week after he was just pulled from the entire game. I just, there was no reason for me to go there when there was so many other running back values.
No, I mean, just even if you say there's like, 10-15% chance of re-injury, that's enough to be like, I thought he was a good tournament play, especially what he ended up coming in at, because he wasn't super chalky in tournaments, but I was not that, I just thought Kenneth Walker was clearly better than him. And I mean, I really, like, I was tilting my face off about Nico Collins all day, because what I wanted to do was I just wanted to play Sky Moore and Josh Jacobs over Kenneth Walker and Nico Collins, which, obviously in the end, I don't even think Sky got a target. I think would have
been. Sky is the biggest. I've chased Sky all year, and it's just not going to happen.
Well, I should have realized was it's definitely not going to happen in a game they might lose. Like, it's definitely not going to happen in a game. I think the reason why he was getting so much work the last couple weeks was because those were basically like non-competitive games. Like, they were just beating ass. Like, that should have been something I thought about a little bit more. Like, obviously in this game, they used McKinnon way more. And I don't know, the Bengals do just kind of have their number, but in the end that I didn't have the stones to play Sky Moore in cash. Even though I actually think that team would have ended up scoring more points because Kenneth Walker got hurt. This is the team I played in full. Burrow, Eckler, Walker, St. Brown, Garrett Wilson, Nico Collins, Harrison Bryant, Samaj Perine, and the Titans defense. Man, Titans defense, don't really know what we were all thinking there. It's just so funny to see the mass hysteria. Because if you were running blended optimals, you weren't actually getting them. You were getting the Steelers, who I think ended up being okay. But you were also getting like Foster Moreau and Jacobs and no Eckler. And I just thought Eckler was kind of a must here, although in the end, that ends up looking really stupid too.
Yeah, let's talk about the Eckler versus Jacobs thing, because I went Jacobs, and I actually probably would have gone Jacobs regardless of price. I had them projected very similarly. Obviously, Eckler has much better passing work for sure, but Eckler is not the same like running back like carry share that Jacobs gets. Jacobs gets all of that volume specifically near the red zone. I thought Jacobs' projection here was, I mean, I had it like within 0.0 something. And then when I looked at the salary difference, like I probably would have played Jacobs over Eckler straight up here. So taking the salary discount, it was like, I thought Jacobs was just objectively a better play.
But it depends on what projection system you look at. Like I had Eckler a little bit higher, but Cardi had Jacobs higher. ETR had Eckler a little bit higher, but 4-for-4 had Jacobs. Like, it just really just depends on who you're looking at. And in the end, I mean, Jacobs and a better defense would have been the far stronger construction.
Well, the better tight. I mean, that's the reason I smashed, is because I had Jacobs and the better tight end. Because I went Freiermuth over.
Oh, you got you got 10 points from your tight end, and we all got Samaj Perine. I'm looking at live scoring right now. They just gave him back the rushing bonus. I don't know if that affects anything for you, but he had lost the rushing bonus and they just gave it back to him. So maybe you
let
just
me refresh.
Maybe you just found because my team just went from 148 to 150.
No, didn't change anything.
Sure? I think it was Eckler, actually.
Oh, I was going to say, my Eckler didn't change.
I think he just got something at the end of the game or something like that. So, you know, whatever. Titans defense, probably not going to play defenses against Jalen Hurts again. Just probably not going to do that.
Yeah. I don't know what I was thinking. I genuinely am like disappointed in myself for playing Titans D. I actually thought Pat Freiermuth, though, I mean, he had like 76 yards at half. I thought I was going to like smash. I thought he was going to get the bonus. I felt really good about Pat Freiermuth play, but he didn't do a whole lot.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I mean, he did more. He did more than Mackey Moore winner Harrison Bryant, who had one reception.
Yeah,
I guess that's really the overarching point. I don't think it was even that Harrison Bryant was this terrible play. It's that Cleveland scored 0 points on offense. Like, you'd just be going through the box score and you'd be like, oh, you know, it's fine, whatever. No, they looked horrible on offense. They could not do anything. Chubb couldn't do anything. Watson was getting sacked. One of his turnovers. I mean, I get that he's like rusty or whatever, but that this does not look like a dude I would have wanted to spend $260 million on or whatever. I mean, he got out YPA'd by Kyle Allen. I mean, it's just really bad by them on offense. They average 4.6 yards per carry, 6 points per pass attempt, 28.6 QBR, no touchdowns for Deshaun Watson, just foul.
I mean, what was it, like 24, 25 dropbacks? Like, there's, yeah, a tight end volume in that offense. That's going to be tough to play in cash, but.
Yeah, I mean, I liked, in theory, what you did with Freiermuth. I probably would have just played Foster Moreau, who ended up doing nothing and getting a concussion. What can you do? So I did, I don't
No, wanna... Moreau came back in, I think.
Okay. So I don't want to dunk too hard on Blender because he's not here, but I do think this was not the right team.
I think ETN was bad.
I think ETN was bad. And I also think Zay Jones was bad.
ETN on a different slate. I think if there was like, you know how we've had those weeks where there isn't great running back value. I think that makes sense. But I think ETN in comparison to Eckler, in comparison to Jacobs, in comparison to P. Ryan, in comparison to Walker is like, significantly worse than the rest of those guys. So there's four strong running back plays and you play the guy with the most, the guy who doesn't get the receiving workload.
Highest risk. Yeah.
So I think ETN was great in tournaments because he came in like he has massive upside in this spot, but in cash, I didn't see it.
Yeah. All right.
I thought Sammy was going to play ETN. That seems like a Sammy play.
That totally does. I just think he was low effort because he was on vacation and he just duped me. He just played the same team as me. I mean, I would say Harrison Bryant feels on brand for him. Nico Collins feels very off brand for Sammy. I would say he's much more like, I thought he would have played Trevor Lawrence and ETN and then like a 6K wide receiver. Like, I don't even know. Sammy would have.
Yeah, he probably.
He would have played like Ayuk or something. I don't know. Like, he just would have found.
No, he probably would have played like Kevontae Smith or something.
Sure.
Like some 6K, like guy that I never considered that would smash.
Yeah, I mean that's just that's pretty much the way of the world. All right, let's do tournament teams. So the two games I really wanted to stack were the Jets and the Vikings and the Chiefs and the Bengals. Neither really ended up getting there. Let's see here. What was the winning team of the big red zone? Winning team of the big red zone, Mike White stack with no bring back. It was Mike White, Samaj Perine, David Montgomery, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Garrett Wilson, Christian Watson, Cole Kmet, Devontae Adams and the Rams defense. Devontae Adams, 40 burger at 10% owned, pretty good play. Christian Watson at 16%, pretty gnarly. The only guys single digit owned in the winning team were Mike White, Cole Kmet, and the Rams D. So pretty hard to win. Pretty hard to win these tournaments. So my main team, Mahomes, 7%. If you tell me that, I'd probably like play more in this slate. I thought he would be owned. I was shocked to see this. P. Ryan at 32. Kenneth Walker at 8%. Again, absolutely unbelievable to me.
I'm so tilted about this Kenneth Walker thing. It should have been an absolute like monster day. Kenneth Walker should have had 2 or 3 touchdowns in this game. Like he would have eaten. I'm so upset.
Yeah, he was. Okay, Smith-Schuster, 7%. He did nothing, obviously. Maybe the worst play I've ever made. Now there's been a lot of them.
Wait. Can I guess?
Yes, of course.
Chris Moore?
No, come on. I'm not that bad.
Chris Moore.
No, I'm not that bad. I played Sky Moore in a vacuum, fine, at 18%, legitimately the worst play available. I mean,
wait a second. What was Mahomes' ownership?
7%. People were just using him as
people were using him as
a filler, I want to stack, I want to play Justin Jefferson, I want to play Devontae Adams, whatever. So I'm going to use Sky Moore.
What was Burrow's percent? Because I'm guessing every Sky Moore team that wasn't Mahomes was a Burrow team.
I got this pulled up on desktop, so I can't find. Oh. I can't find the specific percentages. Okay, then the rest of this, I will find that though. So I thought getting pretty weird. So I'll play St. Brown. That was fine. Harrison Bryant, again, 17%. Not very good, but just allowed for the salary. And I'm like kind of done caring about tight end. Tight ends just don't produce any points. They really do not. T. Higgins at 14%, Steelers D at 23%. This team is not very good. This team did not min cash. It fit into my theory of wanting to stack and double stack Kansas City, Cincinnati, but that game didn't even end up being that high scoring relative to some of the other bonanza spots.
Yeah.
So, what can you do?
I had an okay day in tournaments. I kind of built around the Detroit Jacksonville game. So my two teams, I had two teams that were 176.5 and then 175.6. My 175 team was, it was a Trevor Lawrence double stack. So it was Christian Kirk, Evan Ingram, and I brought it back with DeAndre Swift.
Good play.
Which I really liked. DeAndre Swift was 5.5% owned at 5,600. And I just think, I mean, he is getting healthier every week, and now is the time to play him, not at 6.5 when he's, you know, getting cucked by Williams every goal line. But so it was good to see Swift getting some work in the red zone. Lawrence, Jacobs, Swift, Devontae Adams was, like you mentioned, like single digit owned, Kirk. And then my punt was Chris Moore, like I said, who got like a big play at the very end and came to life. Evan Ingram, who did get the touchdown, Samaje Perine, who was only 30% owned, and Commanders. So I felt pretty good about playing a chalky running back in Perine. I worry less about running back chalk in tournaments than I do wide receiver chalk. So I excluded Garrett Wilson from every build in tournaments because it was like, I'm not going to play a 50% owned wide receiver in tournaments. What did Wilson end up at in tournaments? Cause I thought he was going to be mega chalk and he smashed, but it was just
30. So I did play him on a team. So he was 35% in the 100K red zone.
Yeah. After getting a price bump and that ownership, I was like, yeah, I was fine with the full fate of him. So this team ended up 175. I felt pretty good about that. The other team.
Burrow, by the way, 21% in the red zone.
Oh, dang. The other team I had in single entry.
Nico Collins was 21%.
Nico's like a cash play, but not tournament. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was again just another version of the Detroit Jacksonville stack. I went with a Goff stack. So it was Goff, Swift, and St. Brown, but I triple stacked it with Brock Wright at 2,800. I just think he was like a great addition. Brought it back with Engram, then had Amari Cooper, Jacobs, Devontae Adams, and Falcons D. So pretty much the Devontae Jacobs in four of my five single entry teams was like what pushed almost all of them, at least to a min cash, because Devontae was super, super low owned. And
so you were playing Adams and Jacobs together.
Yeah. Cause I thought, hey, I was going to get leverage.
I don't really hate it. What chargers were you using with them? Like Palmer, or just not just saying chargers stink. These dudes are good.
Yeah. I just think Vegas is so tightly correlated. Like, you know exactly where that offense is going. And so I thought Jacobs would be great leverage off of the Eckler chalk, and Devontae I thought was like the best wide receiver play, like projection to ownership compared to, I almost, Tyreek was the other guy that I was considering, but I went Devontae this week.
Yeah. I mean, hey, you love to see it. One of the few, one of the proud. I mean, a couple of the other, I had no sweats this week, but I was pretty into that, that Jets Vikings game. Cause I did like playing chalky Garrett Wilson because I knew no one was going to be playing Justin Jefferson. No one was going to be playing Kirk Cousins. No one was going to be playing TJ Hockenson. And I mean, those guys all did shit. But Kirk Cousins was 1% owned and Justin Jefferson was 4% and TJ Hockenson was 3%. So I just figured I could play.
Then it's fine to play Wilson. But if you're playing Wilson as like a one-off a non-game stack, like I just think that's bad. But again, that goes back to the blender conversation from last week.
Yeah. Yeah. It's I don't know, man. No sweats all year. It's it hurts, and I really gotta get back into the lab because Sky Moore at 18% is just 18% Sky Moore, man. That is a lot of people who clicked on him.
I guess you just got to think that the punt in the highest total game that everybody's trying to play is just going to be steamed mega. Like,
no, I mean, I do get that. And he's been playing and he has 12 targets each of the last 2 weeks, but you sort of figure that that's like, you know, you're not getting Sky Moore in any optimizer. Like, he's projecting for like 3 points on all these places. So that just, I guess it just means that people were touting Sky Moore is what it's got to be, is every daily fantasy site was telling people about Sky Moore, because you would not be getting him with an optimizer at all. I think you might
under 4K there weren't any like decent wide receivers. I mean, it was like Chris Moore, DeAndre Carter. I mean, Sky Moore was probably like the third or fourth, and then anything that was trying to get game stacks, like, you're gonna get a lot of Sky Moore.
And I guess it was the most, I guess it would be the equivalent of like if DeAndre Carter was minimum salary instead of 3,900 or whatever, like probably that.
And it was the Chiefs Chargers. If it was the Chiefs Chargers or something like that, that would have been the game. But
yeah,
not a lot to take away. Like, I have no.
I have settled into like more of like a process. Like, I'm not just throwing darts. It's like, well, I'm not just trying to play, you know, 60% cumulative ownership teams anymore. And I'm playing some of these big, you know, Chiefs, Bengals game stacks. I had some Raiders, Chargers stuff. Like, it's just a matter of, and Blender, I mean, to his point, if we're going to dunk on his cash game team, I mean, he probably is the best at explaining this, of being like, you know, you can play like chalky pieces as long as you are doing it in such a way that no one else is doing, like whether it be spending up at a position no one else is spending up at, or playing a 3% owned defense and a 2% owned tight end or whatever. It's just a hard game, man. Everyone's pretty good at the game now.
Yeah. I've actually gotten less chalky or more chalky and less off the board. I think early on in the season I was doing.
Yeah. You were so playing some wacky, funky goddamn shit. You played Sammy Watkins, not even in week one, bro.
Where what was it? Like 3-4 weeks ago, Sammy was like, Nate, get a freaking hold of yourself. And I think I have like, my GPP performance over the last 4 weeks has actually been a little bit better. So maybe settling in a little bit process wise.
All right. Well, everyone, that's it. Tell Sammy to enter back into the United States. Hope Blender gets feeling better. And hopefully we have the gang all back together next week for the program. See y'all then.